chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 1. I love where we can find places in the Word of God where they are direct statements from Jesus. If you have a certain type of Bible, those will be the letters in red. Those words are so important for your life. Lord, I give this service over to you. God, I tell you to have your way. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord, I won't ask you to bless your word. Your word is blessed. God, bless the people and open up their understanding right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So John chapter 15 and verse 1, and here is Jesus, and he's speaking, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I think this generation in society today, we're looking for something that's true, and until we stop at Jesus, we'll never find what we're looking for. And God, Jesus says here that I am the true vine. The true vine. And what I want you to know this morning is there's nothing in your life that can ever take God's place. You can put whatever you think there, but it will never work. He has to be in that place. There's a particular place in the heart and the soul of every human on the planet. And that place is reserved for the living God. And until we say to ourselves, Jesus, you really are. You are the true vine. You are the true, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jehovah. He's the true vine. There's so many things in life that would lie to you or be a cop-out or a generic. Don't fall for that. He is the true vine. Yes. And what he's really saying here is he's saying he is our life source. He is the true vine. He is the source of our life. He is the true life source for us and nothing else. God is the gardener. How many people here, we live in Arkansas, how many of you have had a garden? We all know what it takes. A garden is a lot of work. It is. And let me just tell you something. We're a lot of work. Amen? And God the Father is the gardener, and he's the one that works the garden. Jesus is the vine, the true vine, and we grow off of him, and we are branches from him. And so, go with me now to Acts chapter 17, and we're going to look in verse 28. Jesus just made a statement. He said, I am the true vine. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, these are some amazing words to live by. For in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. And I used to be confused about that third part, but what does that mean when we can have our being? It means we can be who we were always supposed to be. God has a purpose for you. You're either going to live inside of his purpose or you're going to live outside of his purpose. But you get to choose that. And the word says that Jesus is, I am the true, true vine. And a lot of believers are living in falsehood. And we are calling things wrong, right. And right, wrong. And I'm going to ask you to go back to that part of you that doesn't make light of things that we all know is wrong. I believe that we're entering into a time in life where there is no room for the believer to compromise. Go back with me to John chapter 15 and verse 2. John chapter 15 and verse 2. And I'm going to wait for you to be there because it's important for you to see this for yourself. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Verse 2. He cuts off. He is in God. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And what I want to tell you today is this right here. You were created to bear fruit. The Word of God says you will know them by the fruit that they bear. Every person that is living and breathing, they are bearing fruit. There's fruit that I like to eat, and then there's fruit that I don't like to eat. But every person is bearing fruit. And you were called to bear righteous fruit. Righteous fruit. There's too many believers and they're leaving God because they're offended at what the Bible actually says. And I'm going to tell you this morning, He'll never change His mind. He's the God that stays the same. And in a world of very uncertain times, we still serve a very certain God. And His promises are yes and amen, and they are for you. God is for you. Are you for God? Are you for God? Are you really for Him? See, because He's for you. And the Word says here, He cuts off every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit. And here's what I see a lot of what's going on in today's society. There are people, and they had called themselves believers, and what they did is they pruned themselves off of God. They left God. God's job is to prune, and we're going to read that. Pruning is when you take a piece off to promote growth in the rest of it. Pruning, the whole purpose of pruning is to produce more growth. And pruning is uncomfortable. But the problem is when people prune themselves. Yes. Over the past 6 years, I've seen a lot of people leave God. And here's what I know. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. We are too much in a society where we wanting everybody to feel good. And let me tell you something. There's times where you shouldn't feel good because you're wrong. There's times where you shouldn't feel good because you're wrong. There's times where I shouldn't feel good because I'm wrong. And we've gotten off. We were in the trampoline park the other day. Have anybody ever had the joy of going to one of those? I'd rather pluck my eyelashes out one by one. Me and Dad were there, and Coco wanted to go there for his birthday. We go there, and there's this kid. He's probably about 5 years old. And he is just being bad for Mama. And Mama had a baby on her hip, and here's the other kid, and it's about five, and he's just throwing a fit, and he's kicking at his mother. Now, let me tell you something. When I was raised, you didn't kick at Mama, okay? And so this kid was just kicking at his mom, and the mom was, oh, you poor thing. Oh, come on. Do you feel like coming over? Please, come on. Feel like coming over here. And you know what? That ain't helping nobody. And that's what we do. That's what we do in the church world. So if you come over here, I'm going to use you for an example. Oh, if you'll just come to church and if you'll just sit here and fill this pew right here, we're going to tell you everything that you want to hear. We're not going to talk about what would offend you. We want to keep you here and we want to put your picture on Facebook so everybody in the town knows that's a full church. Let me tell you something. If we got a full church and ain't none of you makes it to heaven, that's not good. This kid just kicked at his mom, and Dad looks at me, and I could tell what he was thinking. I was thinking the same thing. I can tell I'm getting older because I was thinking this kid needs the best whooping of his life, kicking at his mother. She birthed him, the little jerk. And all of a sudden, Daddy comes out of the bathroom. I thought, here we go. Daddy's going to daddy's going to tell this kid he's going to get him. No, daddy didn't either. Oh, I've never seen a kid 5 years old just kick at their parents like that. And all of a sudden, something changed in daddy. And it was like a light switch, and you just turn it on. And that daddy, he yanked that kid up right by the arm. See, you get in trouble for child abuse these days because, see, we're all worried about really hurting the kids. You know what? You can correct him, or you can let the government correct him, but somebody's going to correct that kid. And I want to just tell you something. If God really loves you, and he does, he will correct you because, see, the Word of God says, I chastise those that I love. Those that I love, I chastise. What does that mean? I'm going to correct them. See, you can live under the correction of God, or you can live under the blessing of God. Well, daddy got sick of that kid, and he yanked that kid up, and he swatted that kid's butt. Guess what that kid was willing to do? Get up and listen. This is the only life you have, and it's important for you to get it right. It's important for you to get it right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God loves you. He wants you to get it right. I want you to get it right. Verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears fruit. I want to ask you this morning, what kind of fruit are you bearing? If somebody's sitting here and they're inspecting your fruit, how many of you ever inspected fruit at the grocery store and you're looking at the fruit? Okay. Melissa, good. I'm glad you're participating today. How many of you have ever inspected fruit at the grocery store? You've looked at it. How many of you want to buy a bunch of rotten fruit? Nobody does. If you're buying fruit and you're buying vegetables, you're inspecting it. What kind of fruit are you producing? If somebody came up to your vegetable table of your life, and they started inspecting your fruit, what would they have to look at? Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. No branch can bear fruit by itself. What is that telling us? The kind of fruit that you want to bear, you can't do that alone. You got to have God, and you got to include God. A lot of people, a lot of Christians, they're saying, why are my plans? Why did things not work out? Did you include God? Because see, God is the one helping you produce the right type of fruit. He's the one helping you. How does he help you? He directs you. How does he direct you? Through his word, through your conscience, through the Holy Spirit. There's that still small voice in you that says you're wrong. There's that still small voice that says don't do that. There's that still small voice that says don't participate in that. And you'd do good and you'd prosper more if you'd listen to the voice of God when he directs you. Because he's directing you because he loves you. Nobody loves you more than God. Nobody wants the best for you more than God. And so in verse 4 it says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It must remain in the vine. It's a necessary thing for you to stay with the Lord. To stay with him. Remain in him. What does he promise? Those that remain in me, I'm remaining in them. I'm remaining in them. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Believers should not be stumped or complexed when we're sitting there thinking, why hasn't things gone right? There's something there. There's something there. I've been in the ministry my entire life, and here's what people like to do. They like to twist the Word of God to make it say exactly what they want to say to suit their situation so they feel better. And here's what I can tell you, that doesn't work. His Word never changes. His expectations never change. We can do nothing without Him. Verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. You know, I've seen that in the lives of people. He is like a branch that is thrown in the fire and burned. And there's times where the people that you love the most, they've left God, they've compromised, and they've done things. And look here, they're not a part of the vine anymore. They're not a branch. Can they become one? Yeah. What do they got to do? Repent. Amen. Turn. Amen. Here's an error that people make. We see people. Now, this can be taken whatever way you want to take it, and I'm sure someone will interpret it the wrong way. But hear me out. There's times where we want to do things in the lives of people where we should have stayed out of it. And oh, my bleeding heart, and oh, my poor kids, and oh, my poor whatever. And oh, let me tell you, I get it, because I'm a bleeding heart myself. I could literally make excuses for a cold-blooded murderer and think I'm right half the time. But let me tell you something, at the end of the day, there's some things we got to stay out of. Because if you get into and you get in God's way when He's trying to correct somebody, you're going to also be corrected. And there's too many people, and they're God does some unpleasant things sometimes when people are being corrected. Think about Jonah when he was swallowed up in the fish. You know what? You didn't see his mama chasing up after him, getting swallowed up too. That's called wisdom. Look at people's lives and think, what is God trying to do with them, and am I going to get in the way with it? Only do what God directs you to do. Do what He directs you to do. Now, we're going to give me John chapter 15 and verse 7. I've been saying this verse inside of me for 2 or 3 weeks, and it is a beautiful, beautiful verse. I love it so much. Most of us know this in the King James Version. This is just a classic, famous verse that we all know, and a lot of us recite it in the King James Version. So I'm going to show it to you here. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. What does this mean? If you live in me. See, what did we read? In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. And here's a promise right here. If ye abide in me, what are you abiding in this morning? What are you living in? Are you living in a constant state of sin? Are you living in a constant state of something that you're a part of and you know that it's wrong? That we're all living somewhere, and where is it? And each one is different. And that's why a lot of times I'll preach and I'll say, I'm going to preach where we live. Because where we live at in our heart and in our mind and in our actions, many, many times isn't right. And the Word says here, if ye abide in me, if you live in me, and my words abide in you. What does this mean? And my words live on the inside of you. David said in the Psalms, Lord, thy word have I hidden inside of my heart. See, is the word of God hidden inside of you? Do you ever read your Bible? Well, it's boring. Well, you know what? Let me tell you, I used to think it was boring too. Most of my life, I'm 40, and most of my life, I will tell you that I thought it was very boring. It was hard for me to keep my attention. But I'm going to tell you, I had experience with God several years ago. And I said, God, saturate my attention for your word. And the word began to come alive inside of me. And you call this corny or what? But when I read the word, Alyssa, when I get into his word, I just feel adrenaline. It excites the heck out of me. Why? Because I know that if I can get it on the inside, it's living and it's active. And that word that's hidden inside of me, when I go through the trials of life, the fiery trials, the word, not me, not my smartness, but the word of God is going to go out of me that I've hidden there, and it's going to the trouble. It's going to the problem. It's going to the infirmity. What did the word of God say? He sent his word forth and he healed them. Lord, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Here's the deal. When you're living in the Word and you're living in Jesus, you're not going to ask for things that's not in God's will for you. Oh, I can go ask God for $1 million and a great trip to Vegas. Nope. He may give that to you. I mean, I don't know what he wants to do in your life, but people love to take verses out of context. They like to, you know, break them down to where they want to make the word of God a mockery. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Many times, here's what I've prayed, Bobby, because here's where I've matured as a person and as a believer, as a child of God. I have said, God, make my heart want what you want. God, I'm not even going to ask you for nothing because, God, I'm fickle. God, I don't even know what I want. But, God, change every desire. Make me desire what you have for me. If ye abide in me and my word abides in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done for you. Now go with me to John chapter 15. We're going to look in verses 7 through 10, and we're going to read this verse again. If you want a good translation of the Bible that you can understand, the CEV version, I've had this Bible since I was 10 years old, so I've had this for 30 years. Bought it on the square. Years ago on the square, there was a Christian Bible store. And when I was 10, my dad bought this for me. It used to be pink. And I have had it with me all these years. And this year, I said, God, I'm searching for something more because I want to understand your word. I want to understand your word. And I bought this. So in John chapter 15, verse 7. So we just read, if ye abide in me and my word abides in you. I'm going to read it to you just like this. This is a very simple wording. John chapter 15, we're going to start at verse 7. Stay joined to me, and let my teachings become a part of you. Stay joined to me. Stay joined to me. And let my teachings, and let. There's a permission there that can only come from you. And let my teachings become a part of you. A part of you. See, something is either a part of you or it's not. You can have something, but is it a part of you? Your arm is a part of you. So should the teachings of God be a part of you. Because see, when something's a part of you, on your worst day, you're not forsaking it. On your worst day, you're not saying, well, I'm sick of my arm being here. I got to flop it around and take it with me everywhere. I'm just cutting that thing off. Nope, it's a part of you. It's a part of you. And the word says that he should be a part of you. Stay joined to me and let my teachings become a part of you. Then you can pray for whatever you want. And your prayer will be answered. Now I'm going to keep reading until verse 10. When you become fruitful disciples of mine, my Father will be honored. Do you have any honor inside of you for the living God? Honor is something that's not in society very much anymore. There's certain things. You know, honoring God is making time for God. Honoring God is doing his will when it's not easy. I encourage you to honor God with everything that you do. Are you going to get that every time? No. But you need to try. You need to put forth effort. I have loved you just as my Father has loved me. So remain faithful to my love for you. Verse 10. If you obey me, I will keep loving you just as my Father keeps loving me, because I have obeyed him. Now let's keep moving on. I have told you this to make you as completely happy as I am. Now I tell you to love each other as I have loved you. So many people, if there's one thing that has been the same for the 6 years that I've preached, it's this right here. Jim, many times when I'm praying for someone, I will say, what do you want God to do? What do you want more than anything? And 9 times out of 10, people will say, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. What does that tell you? There's a lot of sadness inside of us, a lot. How many of you, there's times where you say, God, I just want to be able to be happy. Let me tell you something. Happiness is overrated. Because what you really are looking for is joy. Joy. Because the Word of God says that Dad, my mind just went blank. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Nehemiah chapter 8.
He's a walking Bible. The only one I know. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And here we read, I have told you this to make you as completely happy as I am. And this is Jesus saying this. Now I tell you to love each other as I have loved you. Love each other. Love each other. That's not easy. It's not easy to love people. It's not easy to love people that's done something to you. But here's Jesus, and he's saying, I'm telling you to love each other. Love each other. As I have loved you. The greatest way to show love for friends is to die for them. And you are my friends if you obey me. Servants don't know what their master is doing, and so I don't speak to you as my servants. I speak to you as my friends, and I have told you everything my Father has told me. We're talking about Jesus being the true vine this morning. John chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Joe, throw that up there for me one more time. John chapter 15, verse 7, King James Version. If ye abide in me, if you live in me, and my words live in you, couple weeks ago. I have prayed three prayers this year. And let me tell you something. God is such a precious God that He hears your prayers. And there's some times that He has you pray for things and you don't even know what you're praying for. And how He's going to answer your prayer is going to be in such a unique way. But I prayed, God, help me to do better with my enemies. And I don't have a lot of enemies, but the ones I got, I need to do better. Because I know what I'm thinking inside of my head, and it ain't good. The second prayer. God, help me to be more patient. I've procrastinated about praying that prayer because I know God's had me in every single line like this entire year waiting. Oh my gosh. And the third prayer. Lord, help me to be the best pastor that I can be. And I'm going to tell you something. This has been a year. Because God has taken those three prayers and He has knocked off some edges on me that I didn't even know I had. And it's been very uncomfortable. And a couple weeks ago, I was saying something to someone that they're not blood family to us, but they are family to us to the point where we don't even take blood into consideration with them. They're family to us. I said to this person, do you really think that God is expecting me to feed these people anymore, the ones that I know are talking bad about me and they're talking bad about the ministry and they're talking bad about the church? They don't have any trouble taking from the church, but they really love to talk about the church, and it keeps on getting back to me. And I was looking for a loophole out of the Word of God, but I'm telling you, it doesn't change. Unfortunately. Because I was just wanting this person to say, yeah, don't feed them no more. Because this person is real godly, and I respect what they got to say. I said, do you think God is really expecting me to keep feeding them? Because they're awful. This person didn't skip a beat. You need to keep feeding them. I was very disappointed in that advice. Fast forward to this week. See, here's the problem with your purpose. The devil knows what you're supposed to be in life too. And he's going to try to find every way to get you to not be doing it. And he's going to give you some temptation. Well, this is a way. You don't necessarily have to do what God really said. See, it's the same thing that he did to Eve. Now, did he really say not to eat that? That's right, Bobby. See, I want to whack him with the chair. There's a gangster part of me. It's called being Puerto Rican and Italian. I was driving. And I do a lot of my praying when I'm just by myself driving. I was meditating and chomping on the advice that I was given. Yes, you need to keep feeding your enemy. And I said, God, you're going to have to change my heart on this because, see, my heart is in the wrong and I know that it's wrong, but I'm still having trouble. See, the first step is knowing that your heart ain't right. And admitting it. And not giving yourself, oh, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay for me and it's not okay for you. It's not okay for anybody. And God began to talk to me. And here's what he told me. Kelly, do you understand just the amount of trust that I have for you with your enemy? Do you know that I trust you so much with your enemy? I trust you with them. I've put trust in you. I have trust in you to do the right thing. Because see, the Word of God says, if your enemy's hungry, feed them. And that'll never change. That's never going to be rewritten. Let me tell you something. Let me ask you something. Can God trust you? Can he trust you when you're by yourself and you're having conversations with him that only you and him have, and you're having thoughts? Can God trust you with what you're asking him for? See, we ask God for lots of things, and then he gives them to us sometimes in small increments, and we don't do well with them. In January of 2019, I said, God, I don't know what to pray. I don't want to make New Year's resolutions that I'm not going to keep. No, I'm not going to lose 20 pounds. It's not going to happen. He said, ask me for Logan County. I didn't even know what I was praying for. I said, in Jesus' name, God, I ask you right now to give me Logan County. Guess what's in Logan County? My hungry enemy. It's more important that you stay in the vine than to prune yourself off and get out of his will. An offense is just a distraction from you, for you. Here's my question for you today, because you have to get this right. I have to get this right. Are you sitting in your seat today and you're saying, I am having trouble forgiving somebody. There's just something, and I don't know, but it's like, it's almost like an obsession. I just cannot let this person out of that unforgiveness that I've got towards them. If that's you, I want you to stand up right where you're sitting right now, because see, that can't stay like that. That can't stay like that. The devil wants to keep you there. If ye abide in me and my word in you. See, what does the word of God say concerning your enemy? What does he say concerning your enemy? See, you're right to stand if you have trouble with this, because see, the word of God, here's what this is telling you. The anointing breaks the yoke. It just does. And nothing else can quite break it like the anointing. God cares about you getting past this point in your life, because the devil is trying to hold you up. It's like you're a fish and you're on a hook, and it's got a hold of you. I want you to pray a prayer with me right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, I release my enemy to you. God, right now, I invite forgiveness to flow through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Lisa, I don't know what's going on, but I want to pray for you specifically. So come out here. I don't want to step on James. I'm going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, Lisa loves you so much. God, I ask you right now, Lord, let that forgiveness flow. God, not even just a trickle, but God, let it flow through there. Lord, help her. God, she doesn't want to have it. Lord, I ask that you bless her. I ask that you bless her. God, I thank you that we've released it to you today, right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all make an altar where you're at, kneel somewhere, or bow your head. We are going to examine our lives. We're getting ourselves prepared to take communion.